discussion, all those in favor, youth and government?
Aye.
Committee? Aye.
Aye.
Chairman, committee members? Well, I was just talking about the, if anybody gets a chance, take a run out there to the Katy Park, we've been doing this, it's extensive road work in there, and the landscaping is going on right now, the seeding and things, and I'd say in 2 weeks, it's just gonna be gorgeous in there, because we're gonna have the fall colors and that stuff growing, so maybe we should be looking at, you know.
Taking a tour?
Well, that or opening it.
Okay.
You know, in a couple of weeks. People are antsy, there's one woman just about tore me one out at the Citgo station 2 mornings ago, so, they're getting ready, but I said, you know, we haven't been able to, and, but once we have it all netted along the road, and, you know, people, it's just gorgeous what's going on there. And we did, most of you were at the walkthrough at Brookside, which was very impressive too, that was, unless they just did it that day for us, but it didn't look like it, I mean, that is one of the cleanest job sites I've seen, that's very professional, I mean, they're really doing a nice job there. So we have our meeting tonight, we'll have a meeting next Monday, to look at our budget. We're gonna be presented the budget tomorrow by the county executive, and I've had a run through of highlights with he and Ray, and Jim. There's some exciting things in there that we've been working on, a couple, one new private-public partnership that we're gonna be talking about, and the time, since I've done this long enough now, to look at the budget is right when you get it. Keep reading it. You have ideas, you have corrections, you have additions, things that you want, things that you would like to see tweaked a little bit. Next Monday, we're gonna be going through ours, and that is a prime time for you to do that. Everyone always says you only have 3 or 4 different times to do this, but I've seen it done the last night on a county board floor, and it never seems to work. So, I mean, my advice to anyone that's new or anyone thinking that way, it just doesn't work. You don't get the votes. You have to work on this starting now. And if you have things that you would like added, removed from the budget, do it at the committee level, do it at the finance committee, and do your homework. As I said, I've never seen it work at the final night. I've seen some grandstanding, and all that did was irritate everybody. So, because you won't get the votes. You just won't get the votes. To do anything major, you can start now, and maybe you will. So it's just advice, and it makes everybody's life smoother. And Jim Cuffer is here for all of us. If you want private meetings, you want to go over, you don't understand something, again, now, this next month is the time. Don't wait till the end. Dave Gerson is available too. Never, ever does he sway away from that. You give him a call, he'll meet with you, he'll go over things with you. And if it's minor things, Ray and I can help you. That's kind of my comments for this evening. Any committee members? Bill, you had your hand up?
No, I was just waiting to our fellow supervisor.
Oh, okay. Hi. Anything from any committee members? If not,
I was going to say, yeah. I went to that Just Fix It turnout for transportation meeting on Thursday. I figured I'd say a couple things about that. There was about 15 people that showed up, the mayor, a couple supervisors, and several heads of towns and villages in the county. And it was a good time. It was pretty informal. Basically, at the end of the meeting, everyone pretty much was on the same page. It's obvious that infrastructure needs a lot of work. They gave us some materials that I can pass around. Apparently, according to the biennium budget that's coming up, it's about a $16 million increase, 8.1%. However, most of those projects are put on hold, as you probably know. So the big discussion was not do we need to work on infrastructure, it's pretty obvious. It's how do we raise revenue? How do we do this? And we were talking about increasing the gas tax, which was one option, and also, well, increasing the gas tax was the main one, or increasing fees, trying to figure out ways of increasing revenue to pay for potential projects coming down the pike. But it just seemed like everyone was on the same page on this one. It wasn't, there was no debate going on. It was just, this is the problem. We all pretty much agree with it. How do we resolve it? The governor, as you guys know, has said that if he does raise taxes, he's going to have to offset it with spending cuts, which of course is causing problems because where do you cut, right? So it was a good time. I have some materials here, specifics that were handed out to us in case anyone is interested, so I can pass those around. There you go.
Anybody else?
If not, we will move on. Citizens' comments. If any citizens would like to address the committee, we would give you 5 minutes. We're a little liberal with that. We can give you 5.5. Only thing we ask you to do is give us your name and address. Any citizens' comments? I see none, so we will move on to division reports. And Frank, you are first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fire alarm system replacement project for the courthouse, the state was delayed in their approval of the designs. They're scheduled to give us approval on October 6th, so we moved the start date to October 10th, and we anticipate a March finish date for that. Seeing no questions, the PSB generator replacement project, we put it out for bid, and October 22nd, we had three contractors show up for the bid walkthrough. October 22nd came, and we received no bids. Purchasing reached. Pardon me?
You said October 22nd.
Oh, I apologize. August 22nd. We received no bids. Purchasing reached out to them. Two things. All the flooding down south previous to that, the months previous, all of the generator contractors were swamped trying to get out generators down there and sending out, getting bids and quotes together. Also, we're finding that the local electricians are swamped in putting together proposals. One of them was working 70 hours a week putting out quotes and proposals. So after talking to them, they said, give us a few weeks to get everything in order. So the bids were re-released on September 2nd, and we had the bid walkthrough. We called around to different contractors, reached out to them in the area, and we got five contractors to go through the walkthrough this time. And we've got our bids due on October 4th, and we're looking at a February completion date for that. See no questions. Going on to the PSB second floor addition. The design continues to be tweaked and refined just in a few areas. We're going through the process of putting together the bid specs, getting that together, and we're looking at a January release date for the bid package. Seeing no questions. Courtroom branch 4 remodel. We're having the bench area for the judge, which you can imagine is pretty near and dear to his heart. We've gone through a couple iterations. We're hoping to do the final iteration this Friday with the judge as far as what the new design will be. And once we get that locked in, we feel pretty confident we can put together the final bid specs to that. And then that would be sent out. We'd be looking at a January start date for that courtroom remodel. Any questions?
Frank, would we do everything this year on that courtroom?
We would, but when we say everything, it's all the mechanicals, all the electrical, and everything was done 10 years ago. So really what we're looking at doing is new flooring, new chairs for the jury, new tables for the attorneys, and a whole new bench area, and refreshing, painting, things like that. But all the major mechanical and electricals were done 10 years ago.
And then, just to refresh everyone, we would then tackle another courtroom in our next budget?
Correct, if that comes through the budget process.
Yeah, how we're trying to time it is because it's kind of split over 2 years. We're trying to get all the design specs done by the end of the year, like Frank said, and then we'd probably start probably January, early February, start the actual project. It'll only take probably 8 to 12 weeks at the most to do everything. And then we'd start the design process probably in the summer for the next courtroom, because then we do the same routine until we get there. There's a total of 3, I think, we've got to finish.
And then we move the judge to a temporary quarter?
Mm-hmm. I believe that's going to be the plan. We've got one that we can rotate through to.
Right.
So.
Right. Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Frank?
Yes. We were talking about the courtrooms. Was this courtroom included in the courtrooms from last year's budget?
Yes. Part of the money was they couldn't put the whole amount of money in, which is $450,000, but they put part of the money in so that we could do all the design and get all the input, get all the design together, so that we could, when the rest of the money came available January 1st, we could start the construction.
So do we have are any of those courtrooms completed?
Yeah, there's only 3 left, actually, that are considered unremodeled, and so this is the first of the 3. So the design work, like Frank said, we're going to do that now, and the 450 is actually split in half. So there's $225 in this year's budget, and we've got $225 proposed in next year's budget, and the goal is to, by the time we do it's not going to cost $225,000 to do the design work, but basically we have that done so that we can let the bid and do it all in one. It'll be one chunk, that from the design right through to the bid to the construction. Everything will be done in one shot, but it's paid out of 2 budget years just to split the cost.
Okay, so this isn't a courtroom that was included in this year's budget?
It was in 2016's budget, yes. $225,000 was included in this year's budget for this courtroom.
I'm just trying to think back what I was seeing when I looked at it, because I saw it was split up into 4 different courtrooms at $450,000 per courtroom, correct?
Yeah, it's $450,000, but it has to do with how it was timed. The first $450,000 was split out between 2016 and 2017. Mm-hmm. So there's $225,000 in this year's budget, mm-hmm. and there's $225,000 proposed for next year. There's actually $450,000 proposed for next year, but $225,000 of it is going to be used to finish this first one, and then the other $225,000 will be the start for the second one. So
did we not have enough? Did we spend more than what was given for the budget for this year? Or
no.
Oh, no. Okay.
No. Yeah. It's just how it was split up
okay.
to facilitate kind of getting it started, because it had, as I understand it, I think it was proposed a couple times, and it kept getting pushed back. And so they said, okay, let's do it this way so that we can at least get this started. So that's why it was split that for the first year. But there's going to be $450,000 for the next 2 years, I think it is, and it'll be $225,000 for the very last year. So it's just a timing thing. Hopefully that didn't confuse you.
No, it's like being on the budget plan with your gas bill.
Right.
Spread it.
Spread it out, yeah.
So, anything else for Frank? If not, we'll go on to the Highway Division.
I have for your consideration tonight a resolution to repair the County Trunk Highway L railroad crossing with the tracks of the Canadian Pacific Railroad Company in the village of Summers. This, unfortunately, is a somewhat common occurrence for the county board to address these crossings. It happens probably 2 or 3 times a year. The railroad at any crossing with a highway is responsible for the maintenance and the condition of that crossing. Everything from a 0.4 foot outside of the rail to the 0.4 foot outside of the opposite rail is the railroad is required to maintain. When a crossing becomes in disrepair and we receive complaints from the public, we attempt to work with the railroad company and get that crossing repaired. That's the first step that we take. We have done that, and the crossing has yet to be repaired. So what the second step is that by state statute, the county board passes a resolution requiring the railroad to complete that repair. And if you do pass this resolution, we will forward it on to the railroad, and they have 30 days to complete those repairs. If they don't complete those repairs within the 30 days, then we have to go to the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads, who conducts a hearing and makes a determination as to who's responsible for the repairs, and he will write an order to that responsible party that those repairs must be done, and that's a mandatory condition. So if this resolution is approved and approved by the committee and the county board, we will forward it to the Canadian Pacific Railroad Company and proceed with this process. It really is the only process available for us to have a railroad crossing repaired, and unfortunately it's lengthy and time consuming, but we typically are successful in getting repairs done. We have better luck with some railroad companies than others. For example, we just had a railroad crossing repaired on Highway C in Trevor with the Canadian National Railroad, and they were great. We called them up. They said, "Sure, we'll help out on your project." You know, within a matter of weeks, it's done, and it's done now. So, it's just some railroad companies are just. It's more difficult to communicate with them than others. So, in this case, we're going to. I would recommend we proceed with the resolution.
Any questions from anyone?
Yes, Gary, you said that it's the railroad responsibility to repair from 4 feet out from both tracks. And if they choose not to do it, we appeal it. And the appeal determines who's responsible. Well, how would, if it's their responsibility, how would an appeal show it's somebody else's responsibility?
It would not. It's just to clarify, it would, the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads would make a determination to what extent the repairs should be made. There's different methods that they can use to repair it. There's really, in the end, there's really only one party responsible for the repairs, but there's different methods to repair a crossing. You know, anything from putting in concrete panels to wood planks. And in this case, I handed out these pictures. It's highly unusual to have a crossing done where there's only just some rubber guards along the rail, and the remainder of it is asphalt. Typically, a crossing is repaired with like concrete panels or wood planks or composite planks. This is basically a recipe for failure. So it's not surprising that that this has happened.
So there's no other questions. We need to go this route. Numerous times we don't get anywhere, and we have to do this first before the commissioner can vote. We can have a Motion on this resolution.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Bostrom, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any discussion? Not all those in favor, you can go on.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Thank you, Jerry.
Want to go ahead and report?
Yes. I just want to give updates on projects that are going on within the county. I'll start first with in-house projects. County S and County N intersection. I believe everybody's familiar with that area. If you drive by there now, you see a lot of traffic control devices on the road. And the curb and gutter on N, N is actually supposed to be a concrete and concrete pavement, and then S is supposed to be asphalt. So right now they are working on N, and so the curb and gutter for N has already been installed. The contractor is getting ready, is prepping the sites for concrete pavement, and they're anticipating to start placing concrete on Wednesday the 5th. And then right now some shouldering paving on the side of south side of S is also scheduled by the end of the week, because they're anticipating by next week they might be shifting traffic a little bit to the south on S so that they can do some work on this on the north side. Pretty much that work is going according to schedule, and it's anticipated that the work will be completed probably by the end of the month, or if it's too late, it should be sometime early November. Then there's also another work on C, County Trunk Highway C from 83 to JF. They've installed the pavement, asphalt pavement has been placed. I just drove by this afternoon after work, and they've started pavement marking. They've installed the center, the double yellow lines in the middle. And that work is going on well. Hopefully, we are anticipating that if everything goes as planned, it might be completed by the end of the week. And the contractor is now mobilizing to start work on County Trunk CK. Other work that the county crews are doing, which is mainly for the state. Last time you were here, some of you saw me going out to do some nice, to just observe what was going on down there at night. We completed that work, and feedback from DOT department was very, very say pleasing. They were happy with the work, and they said they were impressed with the way the work was done. County crew are currently doing crack and seal on the frontage roads. It's going to be going on for quite a while, because it's a slow process. And at the same time, we are currently paving some sections of the frontage roads on the east frontage roads that were marked by the DOT as being deplorable, and they wanted us to kind of put mitigation on it. There are other works that are going on within the county that will impact you. This one in particular is State Trunk Highway 165. Within the month of October, there will be some acute congestions and delays on 165, because they will be doing some left-hand bay extension on 31 and 165. And because of the nature, they don't have enough room to maneuver the traffic, so congestion will be very high. And I was told to let all of you know that you'll be expecting a lot of phone calls, because it's going to be really it's very inconvenient, but they don't really have much to do. They'll do their best to control traffic. 31, of course, everybody knows 31 has a lot of traffic, and 165 has a lot of traffic as well. So manipulating that at that intersection will be a little bit tricky. They started a traffic control setup today at that intersection, and I think they expected to set it up in full by midweek. By the week of October 10th, they'll be bringing the girders for the bridge Those are 130 feet long girders. And so that also, because of the nature of the girders are so long, that will also impact traffic. That is just going to be a mess out there. So just giving all of you heads up that you'll be expecting a lot of phone calls, but the contractor is doing everything that he could to mitigate the issue. And they're also planning to start paving the east side of the bridge on 165 by the end of October, and early November they will be paving the west side, the side that is being totally reconstructed. So that's what is going out there, and the contractor has been doing a fairly good job in the past, not been receiving too many phone calls. The other work that is still within the county, but it's not the county work, is Highway N, just west of the I. It was opened up today. It rides good, looks good, and but at the same time, they'll be doing some closures on 142 and 128th Avenue because they need to do some work at that intersection. So there'll be some lane closures, there'll be delays, and there'll be some detour routes around that location. Basically, that's all I have for you today. And if you have any questions, that'll be, please go.
That's what talk about 165, when would you expect, just with what we're looking at today, with all of the refurbishment and construction we've done with 165, how deep into the season would you go?
Well, generally, because that's a two-year project, and they usually close down for winter, and typically we I used to do that kind of work a lot before I came here. Typically, they push it as far as they could go until they cannot walk anymore before they close down. So I would say late December if the snow doesn't fly early.
And just my comment is, if I know my geography and I could look at the map better, that's right down there by the outlets, the shopping mall and so forth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd think they'd make some provision to have that pretty much tied up by the third week in November, or at least stabilized, so when you get this traffic influx, we're not having a lot of undesired consequence. So,
yeah, all those things were considered in their traffic management plan. I don't have the detail, but I'm assuming that they did. And so usually during those Christmas time, the holiday period, they always make arrangements for all these kind of challenges.
I just wanted to ask you, like this Project L will be done this construction season, or do you think we're looking at next year sometime?
I'm sure that any major repairs would have to be done next year, although there could be some minor repairs done yet this fall. But if they have to completely replace the crossing, there's time yet. But if we have to go through this, the whole resolution process, and have a hearing with the Commissioner of Railroads, then it will be until next year.
If you don't want to check on us, I'd just like to ask Gary. I know we're going to hear more about this when the budget presents, or the executive presents the budget, and we have our hearings and so forth with this committee. But do you have a top two or three highlights you could elucidate for us as far as road building goes in 2017, what we can look for? Is there anything significantly different than what we've seen in the past?
Well, the project that's significantly different, but is something that is going to become very common, is expansion projects. And the expansion project that we're working on right now is on Highway S. It's in the engineering phase. For the segment between Highway H and Highway 31. And that's a federally funded and county funded project. And that's different because it is an expansion project. I mean, typically our reconstruction projects will address operational problems and traffic safety problems, but the issue on Highway S and what we're seeing develop on a couple other county trunk highways is there's the volume of traffic is just too much for a two-lane road. So it's different than what we typically see to reconstruct a two-lane road into a four-lane road. We, in the 2017 budget, we're going to be looking at additional segments of Highway S to try to get that project reconstructed out to I-94. So it gets to be complicated to some extent from a scheduling standpoint, and what we're up against is parallel projects that the state is doing. When we're done with Highway S, the state wants to get in and reconstruct Highway 158 right away. So and they've got issues with their bridges on the overpasses, so they can't push their project out too much further. But they need the new Highway S as a detour route for 158. We cannot close two parallel east-west roads together. When 158's done, Highway 50 is scheduled to begin. So that is basically going to affect every east-west road in the county, and not in a good way. We're looking at the possibility of completing the entire segment of Highway S simultaneously. That's something that will be discussed. And when we're done with Highway S, and Highway H is right behind from a traffic volume standpoint. We've got Highway K. We got issues with. I mean, it's kind of the new normal for the foreseeable future.
For Highway S, the idea would be do it all in one fell swoop rather than as a two-step. Do it all the way from Green Bay Road to the I, if we could swing it that way.
That would be the most advantageous to do to address these issues that we're having from both operationally and from a traffic safety standpoint. We've got the Highway S and H intersection is the highest crash rate of county trunk highways in the county, and it's just unacceptable. And it's just, when you have so much volume, the probability of two cars crashing into each other just is too high.
Yeah. One question, I'll let you both go. Either you or Clement can take it, and that is, what do we see in 2017 for the repaving projects that we traditionally do in terms of mileage?
We would be looking at that pretty much the typical budget, same budget for materials that would be a similar type mileage that we've historically had.
Are we pretty much close to capacity with what our paving crew can do in a season with those numbers?
We are. When you factor in the amount of additional work that we've been getting from both the state and the local municipalities and internally that we do for other divisions, we're this year we're pretty maxed out.
The reason I ask it is, at this particular point, material is low cost, and asphalt fuel oil is not nearly what it has been years ago. So as long as we're proceeding in that manner, that's what I'm concerned about. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Gary, you guys are all set. Anything else? Questions for Gary or Clement? Yes.
Actually, I just saw Supervisor Grady open the door to Highway S and H. How does reconstructed H and S actually look?
The Highway S will become four-lane divided, and the intersection at S and H will have either one or two left turn lanes in each direction, depending on the approach. Of course, Highway H will just transition from four lanes at the intersection with turn lanes back into two lanes as you head north and south. But the main objective of the highway of this current project is to reconstruct Highway S from a two-lane road to a four-lane divided.
Which side of the road is being acquired?
The north side.
North side.
At least on the segment between H and 31, it's on the north side. That's the one that is in the engineering phase currently. We've not made a final determination on the section between H and I-94.
And who's driving the bus on the design? Is it us or is it the
we are. State?
How much consideration, if any, is being given to the airport and future expansion?
We have been working directly with both the city staff and the FAA to make sure that everything that we do is in compliance with all of their requirements. So we...
as I understand it, the FAA, if they had to wait, they moved that intersection about 300 feet to the east and to the north, mm-hmm. which... obviously can't be done.
Yeah,
it could be done, it'd be very difficult.
Yes, we're aware of that. We're aware that there's, you know, that discussion's taken place. But at this point, we've been giving no indication that any of our design is inappropriate for their needs.
So far, the design does not necessarily alter except for expanding that intersection.
Yes,
it doesn't move it.
The only restriction that we have is that they don't want us to encroach upon their existing property. But anything outside of their existing property, they have no objection to. That was the latest I've heard.
Thank you.
And
Dennis,
yes. Just to touch on that, the asphalt for 2017, just for the committee's information, when do you lock in the pricing on that for the projects for 2017?
We will put out bids in April of 2017, and then that will lock in the prices for the calendar year of 2017. So we bid our asphalt this past April for 2016, and it was lower than previous years. It was about 5% lower than it was in 2015. So,
any projection?
No, there's no projection. They won't. They don't. They won't say one way or the other.
Sure. At that time, everybody thought crude oil was going to zero.
Nothing else for beer. Cut it. Matthew, we'll move on. Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'll pass out some updated pictures of the KD Park development. As we spoke about earlier, this project is going really well, really smooth. If it weren't for the rain that we had over the last few weeks, we'd be right where we need to be. So, crews were actually out this weekend working to try to finalize that park development. And the only thing that truly remains for that project is a lot of the restoration work that coexists with the seeding, mulching, and EMAT. So they're working on planting right now the bioretention basins that you can see in those pictures. And I attached a couple other in your actual report of the paving that was completed the week prior. So as we talked about, hopefully within 2 weeks, we can have a grand opening ceremony. We'll send out a press release to make sure all of the county board is invited to a grand opening. So that project's going extremely well, and hope to get that done in about a week to two at the latest. As far as Fox River Park, we released 142 muskies that were stocked into the Fox River within Kenosha County. A total of 317 were stocked between Racine and Kenosha County. And these are pretty big size muskies as well, say between 12 and 18 inch muskies. So they weren't your little tiny ones that we got a, by being patient, waiting until the end of the year, it paid off for us. So attach a couple of pictures of that. And that was part of the DNR's conservation aids grant that we received from the previous year. And moving on to the Summer Youth Employment Program, the county was awarded the Silver Star Award through the Wisconsin Park and Recreation Association. I don't know if anyone saw it in the paper last week in the Kenosha News, but a huge honor for the county. And we talked about it multiple times, how wonderful a program that Summer Youth Employment Program really is, not only to the parks, but the entire county. They hire over 200 at-risk youth. And even though it was highlighted with parks for this award, we wanted to make sure that it recognized all the numerous organizations that contribute to the success of that program. So early November, park staff will go up and accept that award on behalf of Kenosha County and kind of tell our story on a statewide level. So a huge honor for all of us. Kenosha County Center Prairie Restoration, we were awarded $6,700 and some change to restore about 15 acres of agriculture field over at the Kenosha County Center right here, just to the north of us. So where you see the actual corn, that's gonna be restored into our prairie late this fall. So it takes a while for prairie seed to germinate, and different species take different times in order to fully develop. So you'll see like your typical black-eyed Susans and everything else next year, and as more species come up, it'll be typically 3 and sometimes even 5 years before other species are prominently present within that prairie field. So with that, we're gonna start the planting process to broadcast seed that 15 acres this late fall. And Pike River cleanup, we were very successful working alongside the Kenosha Sports Fishermen and Conservation Association. You can see some attached pictures on that one, but they helped clear a bunch of log jams, a bunch of trash, unfortunately, that collects along our rivers and streams. But it's great that we have a lot of volunteers and the Sports Fishing Association come together in order to make our fish actually be able to go upstream. And even Mr. Grady, Supervisor Grady, was commenting that he sees them all the way over in Petrifying Springs Park. So our salmon are going all the way upstream, which is a huge success to us this year. And a lot of events, hasn't really slowed down as far as events go. We, this last month in September, we had our Fall Fun Fest and International Migratory Bird Day, which was a huge success. Our parking lot was completely full when we had that event done over at Bristol Woods and Pringle Nature Center. So it seemed like everyone had a great time with that one. As I said, the Pike River cleanup happened. This last weekend, the fall wheel ride we had between the bike ride, and we have a run walk that coexist for the same event. We had 120 or so people signed up, but unfortunately, weather kind of happened and it was kind of nasty out, but we still had a bunch of people participate, but probably not close to the 120 that we expected. So there's some pictures of the event as well. And one other event that's going to be taking place this October is Silver Lake. They have a Halloween evening mountain bike ride, which will actually take place more in the dark. So good luck to whoever's participating with that. Not I, but I guess those people love that stuff. So that's all I have for my report.
Thank you, Matt. I caught a couple of those little muskies. I wondered what they were.
Sushi.
Fish are biting on it. Oh, they're like a little snake, Norman.
Jesse. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt, just out of curiosity, this picture with the collection of tires, was this all found in one location of the Pike River, or was it scattered around?
No, they were scattered around. So they have central hubs where they bring a lot of their collection of what they find. One of those areas, parking lot area 6 within Petrifying Springs Park. So the whole entire Pike River cleanup happens through a majority of the actual Pike River. So we actually went on to UW Parkside's campus, and there was like a log jam over there and a lot of debris and litter along the riverside. So there was different points that we tried to have an organized groups kind of hit those main hubs that we discovered previously to the actual cleanup.
I'm glad to hear that. And the reason why I asked this, I'm sure everybody remembers in the paper over by the hot pots, the knucklehead dumped 40 tire or so. I was just curious if it was the same situation. So thank you.
I have a question. Do we do anything to try to prevent like the tire buildup from happening
Is there any type of signage or that says report somebody and, you know, something along those lines, any preventative measures?
We actually had a constituent ask that same question of what can we do as far as signage along even 31 in the Pike River right off of the old Green Bay Road. And the DOT always received these requests over and over again, and they actually did a study of how much those signs actually work, are worthy, or are they doing their job, are we catching more people, or more people reporting? And the unfortunate answer is no. That they found that, if anything, the cost of the signs, the cost to replace them, the cost to maintain them, wasn't really doing any due diligence. It became more of a, I'm not saying a nuisance to put signs ever, but it wasn't really stopping people from that behavior. Because unfortunately, the good people are going to be good, and they're going to respect the law, and they're going to know, all of us know, not to dump into the river. But those bad people, I've seen it day in, day out, they'll put it right next to that sign that says no littering.
Well, the signage was just one point. I just was wondering, is there anything else? For example, using SEPTED, I don't know if you know what that is, it's crime prevention through environmental design, using nature, like where it's common to dump the tires, let's say, if you put a bunch of rose bushes there, they're not going to want to get stuck by those thorns, you know, things of that nature. I was just wondering if we've looked into anything. So that doesn't happen, you know, these pictures, that doesn't happen again.
I could definitely look into it. I know that this is, like I say, this cleanup is on a big scale, that it's more than just county property. So like for Petrifying Springs Park, where the Pike River runs through, it's good to have staff there. It's good to have community welcome to the riverside. So then it's checks and balances. So technically in our section, people are pretty good. But then you go into these hidden areas, per se, where it's not easily recognized, and these contractors unfortunately know it, and they can move around, and if they have the right equipment, they'll find a location to dump it. So, I mean, we could have a meeting of the minds. We work closely with the Root Pike Wind organization that basically is the umbrella for the whole entire Pike River. So if we do know of specific areas that day in and day out we have issues, that is a good idea that maybe we can try to be proactive with those areas specifically.
Thank you.
Anything else, Matt?
That was it.
Okay, we will move on to Dan.
We're still receiving outstanding reviews of our golf course. We've completed the core aerification on all of the tees at Brightondale, the red pine 9 and the blue spruce 18. We are planning on starting the white birch tomorrow, depending on how saturated the turf is. You know, we're going to try and hit some high, well-draining greens first tomorrow, and then do the rest of it on Wednesday. So we're hoping that we can get that done. At Petrifying Springs, all the greens were done last Tuesday and Wednesday, and they really turned out well. I mean, all of the aerification, the red is all healed up already. The blue is pretty well healed up. And then Pets is well on its way. I mean, unfortunate with this weather, business is down a little bit on the weekends like we've had, but it is growing, the good growing for repairing that aerification problem. So hopefully we'll have all that done by Wednesday. We still have a few tees to do at Petrifying Springs, and we are trying to do all the fairways. So that's something new that we've never done, all 63 fairways, and we're trying to get that done this year, so that'll really help the turf. The next big incentive we have is our Senior Scramble. This is a new event. We had one in the spring. We had really good turnout for that. This one is also, we have 92 players already signed up. We figure that by Friday we'll have over 100 players for that. It's a 18-hole contest. Where we do award a season pass, a senior season pass for next year. So that's really been successful turnout. Then we also have the Brightondale Open, which is Saturday, October 15th. It's a 27-hole scramble with season passes, adult season passes being awarded to the winners. And then we have the two Halloween Horrors, which is a really good time. I mean, we put pumpkins out for the tee markers. We put crazy things on the greens. You got to putt around some pumpkins. We have used the worst shot on every hole. I mean, just people really love this tournament. It used to be one day. Now we have gone to 2 days because it's so popular, and we sell out about 120 people each day for that tournament. So looking forward to that at the end of the month. And hopefully all this will give us a good wrap-up to our golf season. The Kenosha County Executive Cup was Tuesday, September 13th. We had 115 players. Everybody really had a good time. Lunch was excellent. Dinner was great. We had really a lot of support from sponsors throughout the area. Good prizes. I put in here about 10,000, but I'm happy to report it's closer to 14 actually that we made on that day for support of the junior golf program. So again, like I said a couple of meetings ago or last meeting, we're looking at a launch monitor to really help our junior golfers understand their ball flight and not only just use it for the juniors but for our teaching programs too. So projects we're working on, still working on the backfilling of the stump holes at Petrifying Springs. They're pretty much all done at Brightondale. We have been able to utilize some of the cores from core aerification, which is really instant grass. I mean, you put it in there, it's still got the turf on top. It's a good, rich black dirt, and the grass really grows quickly. We also still have to contact the contractor. They have about 300 more trees to take down at Brightondale, so we're going to try and get that scheduled for as soon as it freezes. We're working on the bunker removal. We are thankful to the facilities department that they're going to deliver a skid steer and a one-ton truck to us on Wednesday so that we can start taking edges off bunkers. We're targeting 12 bunkers that we're going to remove. Again, we're going to use some of the cores to fill some of those. We're also going to get some dirt brought in from the contractor that's doing the shaping, and we're going to try and get those shaped to the land. We're going to either have grass depressions or swales or mounds, and then we're going to try and get those seeded yet this year. So they'll still be playing features because they're going to be depressions or mounds, but it won't be sand that we have to maintain those bunkers. So we're hoping that by that removal, you know, we'll be able to concentrate more on working on the other bunkers that remain. And if we continue to do this, you know, our bunker total will reduce, and hopefully the maintenance will get better of the remaining ones. The Pets paving went fantastic. Thanks to the highway department for their efforts there. You know, they got all the way down to the shop yard and came out. They did the maintenance road, and then they did the parking lots, and they turned out fantastic. They finished up today with the entrance to the Petrifying Springs golf course. And so basically it gives us a light skim coat that really looks nice now, and hopefully gives us, you know, 5 years while we plan on the new maintenance facility and redesign of the parking lot and entrance. So they did a really good job of doing that, and it was amazing how quickly that they actually got that work done once they got in there. So overall, season's been great. You know, really doing well. A lot of, you know, positive comments. Unfortunately, you know, some rainy weekends since the middle of August, but we're hanging in there. Our rounds are continuing to be similar to last year, so I'm encouraged by that, and we'll see how the rest of the fall works out. I'm hoping it's with these events and some good weather we can really do well yet.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Dan on that? If not, Mike.
Okay, from the ongoing project list, there's one project that remains. It's at the safety building. It's upgrading the security system for evidence and ID. It's a three-prong attack. One portion is done already, and now the second one has been completed on the 27th. And that was installing the card readers on the doors. We did that in-house. The last one to do is installing cameras, and that's probably going to be starting here in October pretty soon. From the energy team list, we've got a little more in red on here than you normally see, and that's mostly because we've been waiting for bids to come in on four projects. Two of the projects we're hoping to do this year yet, but when they came in, that added all these fields in red. So we've got two that are ongoing. Those are the ones we're going to do this year yet, and then there's two more in pre-construction that will carry to next year. If you slide across the right in the tables, you'll see a whole bunch of figures in red. And because these bids changed all those figures, so project cost figures have been updated. They've gone up. You can see what they are. Total for the four of them comes into about just under 220. I've got figures back from Focus on Energy for potential incentives we're going to receive. So those have gone down a little bit, and the longer we wait on these, the lower those go. Annual savings figures I've got to be determined. I'm waiting for calculations from our energy savings engineer to give me those. And once I have those figures, I can recalculate the payback for all those projects. I got ship dates on the two projects we want to do this year. One of them comes in on the 18th of this month and 1st of November for the other one. So our in-house electrician is going to be hot and heavy getting those going before it gets too cold. The first one is the parking ramp. That'll finish up probably in about a month. And then he'll start in-house on the highway garage where the trucks park.
Any questions? Anything else, Mike? Bill?
I always take an interest in looking at these payback figures. It's really cool with the LEDs because they pay themselves back so quickly. But the four from the bottom replace hot water system. The payback in years, I don't know if this is a type or not.
It's not.
66 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yet the whole cost of the project is, you know, $51,000. It's not huge bucks. You're just commenting on that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of taking the annual savings for the big cost of the project, which is, you know, almost $52,000, subtracting the potential incentives, and it's just that's how you get your.
Well, you save
$700
a year, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a huge maintenance factor to that too, because something's at its end of the life, and requiring a lot of maintenance and a lot of repair. So once it becomes new again, that changes too. So. That component is part of this too. Even though paybacks aren't necessarily, you know, really great to look at sometimes, you put in the maintenance factor, especially with the LED lighting, and it's a big change.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that me?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
we'll update the committee. Most everybody was on the tour last week, but quite a bit actually happened, even though the weather was less than cooperative. Storage building, if anybody's been out there has seen that the storage, the slab has been poured now. Framing's to start on that. It was actually supposed to start today, so I wasn't out there today, but I'm guessing that it did, because I know that the frames were there on Friday. So they're actually going to start framing that up. Both wings of the CBRF have now all the windows installed, including up to all the aluminum storefront, the big floor-to-ceiling type windows. There was one that they were supposed to put in on Friday, so that one, I'm assuming, got finished today. So those are all done. Ceiling drywall, they actually started that on Friday, on the 30th, in the east wing of the CBRF. Let's see, exterior stone sills to start install on today. So then, this week there's actually going to be a few things. So if you looked at the building on the outside, you saw that there was a brick. Kind of a decorative feature goes up about 4 feet, and then there's stone that's going to, Landon stone, I think is what it is, is going to be put on top of that, and then there's cementitious type board that goes above that. Those stones are supposed to be installed, started today as well. And then a big thing is this Wednesday, all that precast that we saw that was in place over the basement, that's supposed to get top coated then with concrete on Wednesday this week, assuming the weather holds up. Roof trusses, yeah, those. I'm trying to remember where they were at when we saw them. Because the second floor, the framing is complete and trusses already are starting today. They should have been a few. I wasn't out there today.
Six of them up already.
Okay, so they're putting the roof trusses up already. That's on track. Pulverizing of the existing asphalt for the road that goes kind of down around the site, that took place over the weekend. They got that all done. I confirmed that this morning. So this week, they're starting to do more work, site work, because they're trying to get that to a point where, with a little luck, we'll put down a binder coat of asphalt just to kind of set everything in place for this winter. It wouldn't be a finished coat, but enough to at least keep everything stable over the winter. We're hoping to do that. Contingency is at roughly $200,000 from about $250,000. Biggest things that affected that, we had some additional engineering we had to do
on the what's going to be renovated. There was some HVAC issues that we wanted to go in one direction and determined that we couldn't go in that direction, so we've got to go in a different direction with that. So we're re-engineering that right now. And the second thing is that the utility, We Energies, was very confident that they could get from the new Bradford service where they put in for the new field, the new sports field, they were going to come basically through the woods. And I can't remember if I told the committee this or not, because there's so much that happened. So, okay, so then this is news to the committee, yeah, because it just happened last week. So they were going to come kitty corner, as opposed to going south on 39th Avenue, and making a right angle, coming up Washington, and then coming in from the street like the existing service does. They were going to, you know, shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So they were going to try to do that, and that was their original plan, to come from Bradford, come through the back, and just go to our service, which is in the back of the building. And they went out, not last Friday, it would have been the Friday before, and they could directionally bore it, no problem, but the topography, the elevation change between where Bradford was and where Brookside's at, the arc that would have to be put in those heavy wires, their engineering guys determined that that was going to be too much stress, and that over time that could cause us some issues. So they said, we can't do that. So they promised me a new design last Wednesday, which I haven't seen yet, which makes me nervous that they're having problems and figuring out how they're going to skin the cat. I'm anticipating that, so in my number of the 200,000, I've kind of got that figured in, that's probably going to be another 20, 25 grand for what they do come up with. So don't know that yet, but I wanted to make sure that I kept everybody up in the committee abreast of when things were a little less than optimal, and this is one of those things. So I'm hoping this week we'll get a final design from them, we'll get it figured out, and then maybe we'll be able to negotiate something with them too. So that's pretty much where Brookside's at. And department report, the only thing I really have is, you know, everybody's wrapped up the budget now. As of literally last Friday, we met with the chairman on Friday afternoon at like 5 o'clock to go, because it's about how long it takes to get everything. It's kind of like contract negotiation. It finishes right before it's due. And we got things pretty well squared away, but everybody was intimately involved in that process for the last, really, couple of months, but the last few weeks pretty intensely. That's done. So we look forward to working with the committees going through the next month, the month of October. That's what it's about. As the chairman said, yeah, if there's questions that anybody has, really, as you go through it, call. Kupfer's probably the best for really intimate kind of stuff, programmatic type stuff, any of us. You can start with me, or start with the chairman, or start with me, and we can work down from there if it's something more detailed. But if the more questions that are asked and the more information that's exchanged during the month of October, it just seems that everybody is informed and everybody's aware of kind of how the whole thing works. By the time it actually gets to the final vote, there's no mystery about anything. So, and that works best for everybody. That's it from my end, Mr.
Bill. So we see the departmental presentation for Public Works. What are we looking at in terms of comparable to 2016 in terms of levy dollars?
Levy dollars, I don't want to steal any of the executive's thunder, but you'll be pleasantly surprised. You won't be disappointed.
Okay.
I'll say that.
We'll leave it at that.
That's why I didn't mention the public private partnership either, because they don't mention it.
Yeah.
Even though I came up with it.
You'll be pressed.
They sometimes listen to this thing, Bill, after the fact, because I've gotten phone calls. It's like, well, wait, you weren't there. Oh, we listened to the thing. Okay.
I do have the levy increases for the last 20 years right in front of me. And in 1993, it was 16.97. We're not going to be anywhere near that. 96, 12.74. 99, 12.79. And the year 2000, it was 11%.
Wow. So by comparison?
Well, last year we were 2.50, 2.48, 1.85, and 2. We've been under 3 for the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
And this is just Public Works?
No, the county.
This is the budget in general?
Okay. Public Works, I think, is going down. are not a huge bunch of anything. But, no. Anything else from anyone?
Motion,
Chair. Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.